Today's program was brought to you by Consider Bardwell Farm in Vermont, a producer of award-winning handmade cheese from goat and cow milk. For more information, visit considerbardwellfarm.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greenhorns, this is Severin, this is Radio for Young Farmers, by Young Farmers. Today we're talking about the goose that laid the golden egg, a mystery solved, with David Hawk and Wesley Bascom from Vermont. Hello, men.
Hello. Hey there.
Welcome to the show where we talk about farming and it's fun. You guys are crazy. You're raising geese in Vermont.
You must have a lot
of geese right now.
We're raising a lot of geese.
A little bit overwhelming.
Yeah, a little bit of a lot of geese. Let's talk a little bit, just like we'll dive straight in because we only have a shorter show today. The life of a goose, the advantages of a goose, the market for a goose, the care of a goose. Your turn.
So the geese, really where we started with this project was geese eat grass. They're very good at eating grass. And they're quite strong poultry. They don't really have the same problems that chickens or other kind of weaker species have. They can be outside in a hurricane and be totally fine. You know, you might lose a few and they might get blown down the river, but they're not going to get chilled and they're not going to have any trouble with kind of small varmints.
So they're rugged and they eat grass, but they grow, and they grow how fast compared to, say, a turkey?
You know, I don't have much experience with the turkeys, but it's taken us about 6 months to grow a goose from egg to about, I'd say about 15 pounds live weight.
And their feed conversion ratio, which is how much feed in produces how much goose flesh in this case, for the first 12 weeks is approximately 2.2, 2.4. It's very competitive with chickens, ducks, and other kinds of poultry, including turkeys. So after that period, it starts to drop, and at this point, these, 4, 5, 6-month-old geese are converting somewhere around 4 to 1. But they're eating pasture in large part, and we are now supplementing with grain to finish. But the cost of that pasture is perhaps more competitive.
So it sounds like what I'm hearing is you're in the beginning of a great goose adventure, and you're learning and collecting data as you go. So then my next question is, how did you come upon the idea of the goose, and how does the goose fit into the system that you're running and the life that you're living?
Yeah, well, it fits in because Dave and I both live here in the hills of Cabot, Vermont, and there's just a lot of perhaps underutilized pasture land, and we were looking for a way to use the pastures here, which happen to be very wet and muddy, and larger ruminant animals like the bovines or the equines, they don't do so well in these wet conditions. They get hoof rot, they compact the soil, they make mud holes, and smaller animals like geese don't, and they still love to eat all of the grass. So, you know, it fits into our lives because we live in this beautiful place, and we're just trying to figure out a way to kind of cobble together a living situation here and, like, make use of the resources that are here.
The other goal with this goose project, you know, they do eat grass. We know this for a fact, but we wanted to actually get some more data about how economic it is to try and raise something that's not a ruminant animal, so it's less efficient at processing the calories in grass. But still, you know, is this something that you can make some money with? And we've been tracking pretty much all the numbers that we can get our hands on and manage to remember. And this will, you know, maybe not necessarily be the end of it for us, but it could be that we decide the goose project didn't work out, and we're going to try something else and collect some data about that and start building up some more kind of databases of information.
I am very grateful because I raised geese last year, and I taxidermied the wings. I ate them, and I gave them away and gave them my family and stuff, but I think that there's another sub-market in taxidermied goose wings because they are very beautiful and decorative, and you can make a lamp out of them, et cetera.
Really? No
so
way.
I'm,
that's exciting.
I'm excited for data.
We were thinking there was a market for goose confit wings, but I think probably the wing intact might be better.
Also solve some of the regulatory problems with selling geese out of state.
You're only allowed to sell geese in one state?
Well, we're currently operating under the unexpected poultry statute in Vermont, which allows individual producers to process up to 1,000 birds uninspected on their farm if they follow, you know, certain best practices, and then have restaurants or other consumers sign a waiver that lets you know that they understand the conditions. Unless we were to get these birds USDA inspected, we couldn't sell them outside of the state, and it's a pretty big expense, and it kind of compromises some of our other goals in terms of having birds lead a humane lifestyle, kind of raised on the farm, slaughtered on the farm. They don't experience the heinous problems associated with long-distance transport.
And how, you know, all this is very interesting and, you know, deliberative, thoughtful, academic perspective on the goose. How do you like the geese? How do you feel like, how do you respond to the geese as creatures? And might you recommend them to other young farmers who've thought about geese but were turned off by the noise or by the, like, poopy duck-likeness of them?
Well, I personally find them to be endlessly fascinating. They are not the, you know, vile, mean creatures of the myth. They are really curious, inquisitive, very bright birds that just, they're really fascinating. They do all sorts of things, and I think it takes a close inspection of them to really appreciate this. They are noisy, that's true, but They talk to each other. It's not just endless noise. It's an actual conversation that's occurring, and and I find that somewhat amusing, honestly. And like,
you have a good sense of humor. You really can take it all in stride and realize that this conversation represents kind of a different community. You know, we don't really use the internet extensively in the like Twitter and Facebook realms, or at least I don't. But I imagine that maybe someone could make an analogy here between the way the geese all gather around and comment on each other's behaviors, or there'll be some ruckus, and then there's this period of mark, 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 where they sort of, like, work it out and then return to their sort of stable, flocculating behavior.
I totally know what you mean about the, like, they're quacking themselves. They quack it out. They calm down, and it's, like, more stasis again. And then there's another little up squawk. Like politics.
Yes. Right.
And I think, you know, for a lot of farmers, we actually sold a couple of young geese to a friend here in Plainfield who runs the East Hill Tree Farm. And he uses them to kind of mow the grass around his place. They eat apples and kind of whatever other sugary treats they can get their beaks on, potatoes even. And they're just really good kind of barnyard companions. If you socialize them well, they're never going to be a problem like, you know, the mean goose that was chased by all the generations of children would be.
Yeah. Actually,
well,
earlier in the season,
go ahead.
We were pretty good about training and had the whole flock trained to come to whistle, and they would follow the whistler, and we could lead them around by just whistling, walking.
How did you learn how to train the goose?
It's pretty simple. You just start when they're young, and you give them little bits of food. In the case of our flock here, we started with greens because they were in a brooder, and they just began to associate David and I with a handful of luscious dandelion greens. And after that, we became sort of permanently connected with that idea, and when they would see us and we would whistle, they would know that something good was going to happen. So it happened early on, but it continued later into their lives too. So
we both studied, a little bit of biology here and there in college, but neither of us got a degree in it. And I think at least what I took away from that was observation is sort of the starting point of any kind of scientific endeavor, and honestly the start of any kind of agricultural practice. So if you're sitting there observing the animal, kind of taking notes in your mind about its behaviors, you can start to try different things out, see how they work. And, most animals, including humans, respond really well to conditioning. You do the same thing over and over again, and they start to exhibit the same response. And if that's just like in your mind as you're observing the animal, you can play around and see what you can get something to do. There's definitely research behind the kind of Pavlovian conditioning to foodstuffs with lambs or other kind of larger mammals, and the same principles seem to apply with poultry.
So there's no like goose whisperer or mentor or book that you read.
There's a new guy who
made that good backyard poultry book, and then there's successful goose raising, but there's not a big literature on geese. I looked into it.
No, there really isn't. No.
We've heard rumors of a textbook, but we've never been able to find such a thing, and our pretty much constant companion here has been a book by David Holder Reed.
I think it's just called Raising Geese.
Yes. It goes into pretty exhaustive detail about a lot of things, and it was helpful in formulating their ration and generally kind of avoiding various problems like wing flip and dip and...
Yeah, chilly, wet goslings or something like that, yeah.
But you raised them up from eggs. You got eggs from another operation.
We got day-old geese. They were very recently out of the egg.
Oh, got it. You got day old.
Yes.
So that's cool. Day old, and those are findable. What was your hatchery that you ordered them from?
We ordered from Metzger Farms in California.
Wow, from California to Vermont. There are definitely two goose raising hatcheries in Pennsylvania that I found. I can try and trawl it up and blog it. I'll blog it on the blog so that people who are following this topic closely can benefit from all the research that it currently lives in Greenhorn's world, but wow, so exciting. So tell us about your markets. Where are you selling your geese? How are you selling your geese? What's your experience of the client's perspective on goose eating? Obviously, this is a holiday kind of food.
Yeah, well, you know, we've only recently begun selling them as of about 2 weeks ago, and we found a really great partner in Salt Cafe in Montpelier and Claire's Restaurant in Hardwick, Vermont. And they've been serving them for the past couple of weeks on their menus as specials. And they find it to be a real success with their clients. Like, customers come in, they sell out of goose, and they want more. So it seems like it's tapping into this desire for something unusual and different, and I think there's a real demand for that. And we're hoping to expand to other restaurants starting this week. So at this point, mainly restaurants, but later in the season, we're hoping to also sell a few Christmas geese to individual customers.
There's really been, I'm at the farmer's market selling pizza during Saturday and Sunday, and there's been a pretty substantial interest from other market customers and vendors. They see this as a pretty unique product, and from our own cooking experiences, it's really unlike anything else. It has some of the richer flavors that you might associate with beef or other kind of mammal products, but it has the kind of, it's like the essence of poultry. I don't know how to, it's like succulent, mild, subtle.
Delicious. Yeah, we actually have maybe 5 gallons of stock boiling on the stove right now.
I think my favorite goose product so far has been goose pho made with goose stock and then goose trimmings from the tenderloins. And it's just really delicious.
This is a Vietnamese Vermont dish.
Yeah, a traditional Vietnamese Vermont dish, yep.
Got it. Yeah, well, these are the traditions. I mean, you have a little bit of that with some Vermont-grown rice, some Vermont-grown ginger. You know, yep. The world is our goose spa. Okay, this is getting a little out of hand, silly. I apologize. Is there anything you guys need to make sure to get off your chest about your new business to get it on the air, or what you're looking for or looking forward to from the community of listeners here?
Well, if you're interested in geese, hopefully by the time this show airs or maybe shortly thereafter, getyourgoose.com will be live on the Internet. It's very simple. You can get your goose from the .com website.
And that's only in Vermont, though, Leslie? You're saying, or you're allowed to ship it anywhere.
What's that?
Are you allowed to ship out of state?
No, you'll have to get your goose in state this year, but maybe next year we'll do it out of state.
Yeah, you know, get your goose internationally as well.
Right. We like the local, right? We want to have local geese, local grass, local goose, local dinners.
If you live in Poland or China, there's also a lot of people producing geese there. And one of the things that we may look into one day is some Vermont-grown down. But at this point, the geese are just a little young to be producing the high-quality down.
Well, and if you go online, you can watch videos that actually commercial down producers, they are plucking the geese live. They pluck them, you know, twice a year while the goose is still alive. And, like, if you Google, like, Lithuania goose duck down pluck kind of stuff, it's pretty mean, actually.
Yes, we've definitely observed some of that molting behavior that is a precursor to live plucking.
Yeah, not exactly the most exciting thing in the world, but, so it goes.
Well, I really appreciate you guys coming on the show and talking about geese. I want to take the last second to make sure we have a plug-in for the Vermont Sill Freight Project. The Vermont Sill Freight Project just launched from Chipman Point in Orwell, Vermont, yesterday, loaded down with 15 tons of Vermont products. No geese, but if you guys figure out how to put them in salt barrels or something like that, or foie gras, we could take that on the next boat load. So the Vermont Sill Barge has 15 tons of shelf-stable pantry and root vegetables, maple syrup, sugar, maple sugar, apple cider vinegar, honey, et cetera, et cetera. There's actually 99 different products on the boat. And those will be making their way down the Champlain Canal and then down the Hudson River. We have 13 different pop-up markets where you can buy straight from the boat or ideally pre-order on Good Eggs. .com/Vermont Sail Freight Project. Please help us move our produce off this barge. It's an art project, but it is also commerce, and we do need to sell. And join us for the parties along the way on the dock side. The schedule's up online, but basically the events are in Mechanicville, Albany, Troy, Hudson, Kingston. Bye-bye!
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.